All right. Thanks for joining us. It's 1:30 p.m. That's why we're live.
1:31 in 6 seconds.
Well, yeah. We had to let the timer count down, so. My name is Clint.
I'm Haley.
And we do this live stream every week, every Sunday, and with the purpose of teaching people to begin the training process, to begin, like, you know, an education process even, of bringing people into, destiny is a popular word, we could use that, bringing them into their destiny in the kingdom. We all share the same destiny in this. Mm-hmm. We all share the same call in this. Mm-hmm. We all share the same, believe it or not, anointing in this. It's through ignorance that we are unable to step into this. I guess the only other excuse would be rebellion, but you've got a lot of problems if that's the excuse you're using. But it's our goal to train people to come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And we are doing that with the churched and non-churched alike, yes, with great effectiveness. And when I say great effectiveness, I'll just throw this out there. Yesterday on our outreach, which we go door to door to heal the sick in our city, we had two teams out there. Both teams were 100% on everyone they prayed for. They were instantly healed.
Bravo. Good job.
So, yeah. So people, somebody asked me yesterday, how'd it go today? And I'm like, well, you know, we had two teams and everybody that we prayed for were instantly healed. Some people had multiple issues. Mm-hmm. And they were like, wow, like, you know, that was a very abnormal thing. I said, well, that's what Jesus did.
It
right.
Is.
And that's what we're supposed to do. Yes. So. Before we get into today's teaching, which is going to be talking about really that subject, being equipped to become like the Master, Jesus talked about this. So we're going to jump into a little bit of scripture where Jesus talked about it and where also Paul talked about it. And kind of do a little Bible study in this. Going to look at some of these words and talk about them. But before we do that, we want to run through some announcements. I don't like that word, but we are announcing things, so I guess they are announcements.
They are announcements.
So what do you got?
Our app.
All right. Talk about
our
the app.
Our app is a training tool with the goal of equipping people. We have daily content. We have podcasts, both video and audio. Our entire 24-week training cycle is on the app. It's completely free, and you can get it wherever your phone tells you to get your apps.
That's right.
That is it. The app. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, and our co-laborers call. Huh. Yes. So our co-laborers call is really what happens on Wednesday nights, and it's a way for us to connect to people both locally and out of our area. And it is not like a regular meeting or where you watch a sermon. It's actually a video meeting. So everyone is visible in the call, and there's chance for opportunity to back and forth answer questions, pray for each other, give testimonies. There's teaching. I personally think that Wednesday's co-laborers call is one of my favorite things that we do.
Are you serious?
It is very, very powerful. Hmm. I love seeing what God's doing in other people's lives, and it's just so different than everything else we do that I find it really, really powerful. You can sign up for it on our website, transfigured.church, or on the app.
Yeah. You mentioned this a minute ago, the discipleship training cycle. This is a 24-week training that you can find on the app or on our website. And as you mentioned, it's free. This is you're going to run into teaching here that you have never heard in
that
the church.
That is very true.
Many, if not most, churches teach church doctrine over Bible doctrine.
Yes.
And this is the reason that so many people are so lost in the church. And what you're going to find here is Bible doctrine.
And also that's why from church to church, what they believe and what they think is correct or appropriate can vary so widely.
Right, right. That's why we're not in unity.
Yeah.
Because everybody's teaching their own doctrines mm-hmm. that they made up. And the doctrines of men, traditions of men, and doctrines of demons, believe it or not. So we invite everyone to go check that out. We actually, in our house church, which we have the goal of multiplying, we'll talk about that in a second, but we actually go through this training cycle twice a year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's great to hear it more than once, mm-hmm. and it's we always have new believers coming in, and they're always jumping in somewhere in the middle of this training cycle, mm-hmm. and so in a very short time, they're going to have the... You know, this is not like we're not teaching the Bible, right? We're not teaching the whole Bible. We're not called to teach the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to to make disciples.
Yes.
Okay? Jesus didn't teach the whole Bible, did he?
Mm-hmm. No.
He mentioned a few things, mm-hmm. but mostly he preached the kingdom and mm-hmm. taught people how to be like him mm-hmm. so that they could enter the kingdom.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. We're making disciples. No, this is not a teaching from Genesis to Revelation, verse by verse, although all those books are in there yes. in this teaching.
That is true.
The goal is discipleship unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. We're going to have you read that scripture in just a minute there. Mm-hmm. See if I can get my act together.
It's less about the academic study of the Bible and more about just becoming like Jesus.
Yeah. We're not even called to be theologians.
No.
We are called to pay attention to our doctrine, mm-hmm. but that's because we're disciples and we've been charged with a responsibility to set the planet free.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And to bring this, well, according to Daniel 2:44, which is something we talk about in the training cycle, we are stewarding a kingdom that is destined to consume all mm-hmm. kingdoms, all right?
Shatter them.
Yeah. So let's talk about the four kind of pillars that we're building everything on here. It's just quick and easy. We just do what works. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes to win, that's what we do. That's how we train people. That's how we structure everything. If it doesn't work, we do not do it. Mm-hmm. We reorganize it. We restructure it. We do something different, okay? So, number one on our list is house churches. Why are we doing that?
House churches are super conducive to discipling people, which is what we are called to do. It allows for a smaller group to be present, interaction, question, and answer. And it promotes a very rapid pace of growth in people's lives.
Yeah.
Not unlike what you would do at like a boot camp, not like military, although that's fine too, but like coding or technology boot camp where you go through something super, you know, condensed and lots of stuff coming at you for a shorter period of time.
Right.
So it allows us to disciple people, to help them grow into maturity, and for them to be released into their own works of ministry, which is very important because we're not calling everyone to just come and sit at our house church for the rest of their lives and tithe.
Yeah. Yeah. We followed, we went for 20 years or so following church fads and men's ministries mm-hmm. and not knowing how to figure out how to become people who did the Bible.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now we have figured it out and are growing in it. Mm-hmm. That means we can teach other people how to
do it. Yes, if you're not going to do the Bible, then don't bother coming because there's no point.
Well, they would discover very quickly that this is not the place for them. So anyway, second on here is regional gatherings, and this is very simply bringing all of our house churches together with the idea of multiplication, with the idea of raising up leaders who can take responsibility mm-hmm. to teach and lead and that kind of thing. We also, from time to time, do a regional gathering in other places mm-hmm. just to kind of help break into that area. The third thing is outreach. We base all of our outreach on Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 70 in groups of two. He says, go into all the cities where I myself am about to enter and heal the sick that are there. So we are actively engaged in eradicating sickness and disease from our city, from our region, and that's the best training ground, you know? When we get somebody who wants to become a disciple, that's the first thing that they need to do besides mm-hmm. getting involved in the teaching. They need to be trained, which mm-hmm. is more than just teaching. It is mm-hmm. going to do it. And so we go door to door announcing that we're in their neighborhood to heal the sick. Of course, people get born again, fill the Holy Spirit, cast out devils, rebuke witches, all kinds of stuff.
You never know if there's a witch living next door to you. Yeah,
you actually do know before you get there.
We'll probably, just
say it that way. But this outreach is geared towards cutting off the influence of evil mm-hmm. or the influence of the devil completely from our city.
Yes.
It can be done as our command. It is our call. The fourth thing is finances weaponized.
Yes. While we're not building big buildings and big ministries, we are, in fact, using our finances to advance God's kingdom and to care for people. The Bible is very specific about not neglecting to care for the poor. So we use them to do any number of things, from helping people with their food, their gas, their bills, anything like that.
That's true.
It is. Yeah.
All right. Those are kind of our four pillars that we kind of gear everything around here and build on. You have anything you want to share about any of this stuff before we dive into this scripture right here?
I was just really have been meditating lately on all that Jesus has done for me, just in my own life to set me free, and how powerful that is, and how could I not give him everything? Mm-hmm. Like, how could I not serve him like this for the rest of my days, mm-hmm. because what he has bought in me is so, like, the magnitude of it has been really overwhelming to me lately.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's awesome. So, we got Ephesians 4.
Yes.
11 through, what, 15 there?
11 through 15.
This is kind of we bring the scripture up often, very mm-hmm. often, weekly, really. This is jumping in scripture to today's teaching, so mm-hmm. I asked you to read that. So just kind of read it to us and make a couple comments, and we'll take a break.
Ephesians 4:11. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness with deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ himself.
Yeah, so there's a specific job assigned to, the modern term is church leaders, but mm-hmm. these are five distinct types of people given as gifts to the body of Christ: apostle, prophet, evangelist, yeah. pastor, teacher. Okay, all of these function uniquely in their specific, you know, point of contact with the earth. You know, apostles, prophets. You know, you just mm-hmm. they just have a unique
flavor.
Well, they have a unique influence
yeah.
on purpose. Uh-huh. Okay, these are gifts given from Christ himself. This is like Jesus Christ was all five of these together. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we see even some of these guys in the New Testament. You know, like Paul, he operated yeah. in all five of mm-hmm. these things. I mean, everybody called him an apostle, but before he was an apostle, he was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so so we have this scripture who it says that these gifts were given to the body of Christ. We have the original 12 apostles, but also after Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. Mm-hmm. And these gifts are apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Although they differ some in their influence on the body of Christ, they are all called to the same end goal, the same end purpose, which is equipping.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about this word today, equipping, which means to fully furnish, to make complete, to bring to perfection, mm-hmm. to bring into maturity,
yes.
the saints for their own works of ministry. Okay, what are these works? We have been predestined, the Bible says, to do good works. Jesus said, the same works I do, you will do in greater. Mm-hmm. So it's no question what these works are, okay?
It's not a mystery.
It's not a mystery. The New Testament, there is no mystery in the New Testament. The only thing that we don't know that it remains to be seen is the timing of the return of Jesus Christ. Everything else has been revealed to us right here. So we have these gifts given whose purpose is to bring us into a fully equipped, mature son of God, just like Jesus. How do we know this? Because it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then it very interestingly in verse 13, I think, it says that we'll no longer be like children.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know it's if 14, we're a child? Verse 14?
Tossed about and carried about by waves of doctrine and the trickery of men.
Yeah, and I can't remember if this is before we started recording or after, but I don't know. You just have to tell me.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter because I'm going to say it again. But, you know, this is why churches differ so much in what they teach.
Oh, yes, we just talked about that.
You know, they differ so much in what they teach. You go to one church, you're going to hear a completely different message as opposed to another church. And people have tried to kind of make sense of that and be like, oh, that's a different expression and they're that expression. But really, you should be able to go in to any body, any functioning
mm-hmm.
body who's under the lordship of Jesus Christ and who is coming into maturity like this, and you should be able to slip right in. They have the same spirit. They have the same doctrine. They have the same power.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same miracles. They have the same signs and wonders. We should all be flowing in this thing together, moving as mm-hmm. one in this. And the more that we come into maturity, the more we are going to move as one in the earth. Yeah. So there you go.
Powerful stuff.
All right. So we're going to be right back, and we're going to be talking about equipped to become like the Master. All right, welcome back, and thanks for joining me today. Thanks for everybody who's watching live, and thanks for everybody who's playing the restream later. These all go up on YouTube. They're available to rewatch on our app as well, and on our website, transfigured.church. So today we're going to be talking about this. My first scripture here is Luke 6:40. This is where Jesus is talking, and every now and then we see Jesus speak plainly in the New Testament, but mostly he speaks in parables, and this is even a little parabolic here, but more plain than some of the other things he said. We see Jesus speaking in parables for a reason, and this is why. If he would have spoke plainly and taught clearly everything that he knew and understood as the Son of God, then the Bible says that the rulers of this age would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because in the crucifixion is the complete work of atonement and the entrance of the kingdom of God to the nations. All right? Everything, and we teach this in our training cycle, but it's important to understand that Jesus did not die. He did not come and die so that you could go to heaven. All right? That's not his end goal. Is it true that if you are in Christ and your body happens to quit functioning, that you will be with the Lord, you will be present with the Lord? The Bible says that he who is absent from the body will be present with the Lord. Okay, so that, but that's not the goal. The goal of everything that Jesus did was to make, was to bring off, first of all, cancel sin, right? Cancel sin, destroy death, destroy sickness and disease, and bring a restoration back to humanity that we had originally in the beginning. And this restoration includes the cancellation of sin, like, well, I'll just say this, the cancellation of sin for eternal life and eternal health. That is all in the atonement of Jesus Christ. And we read the purpose of Jesus Christ throughout the New Testament, but Galatians 3, 13 and 14 sums it up very nicely. It says that that Christ became a curse for us, because everyone is cursed that hangs on a tree, that we might receive that through the blessing of Abraham we might receive the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit by faith. So everything that Jesus did was to get his Spirit in us. Okay, this is God's new humanity. Even everyone who is in Christ is a new creation or a new creature. That word new is like a new kind, a founding species that's never existed before. And Jesus says, I am the first among many who are just like me, or King James says many brethren. All right, so what is this talking about? We have literally in the earth right now two races of people, the race of people after the first Adam, the man made from dust, and the race of the last Adam, or Jesus Christ, the man from heaven. So we have an earthly race and a heavenly race, and we have been made just like him. In fact, it says that he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. What is this? This is the first race of Adam, who is trapped in death, and everyone who was born into that race inherits sin and death from their father, Adam. In this second race, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, Paul writes. And this kingdom is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, where you have through the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus, you had your sins canceled, and you are promised eternal life and eternal health. Forget not all of his benefits, who heals all your, forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. This is a constant theme in the Old and the New Testament for the Messiah, that through the cancellation of sin, you would also receive divine health. And this is kind of a little known fact, or maybe even a little talked about fact of the Bible, is that when you are reborn or born again, or you translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that as you receive that eternal life and your spirit is recreated in the likeness and image of God, that you also should be healed, right? By his stripes, you were healed, past tense, by the same act of atonement that cancels sin. Those stripes that actually in the Greek, it's not plural, it's singular. By his stripe, meaning, you know, his entire back was filleted, even opening of his muscles till you could see the organs. That destruction of the perfect Holy One was also a sacrifice that you could live in divine health. He became poor that out of his poverty we could become rich, it says in another place. So, in one act of atonement, sins canceled, eternal life, and eternal divine health as well. Now, you have to be in Christ. Just because you get born again does not mean you can live however you want. There are tares and wheat. The Bible talks about this. 13 books of the New Testament warn against people living in a lifestyle of sin yet claiming to know God. And there is a portion, and I'm not going to be reading it today, but I'll just kind of mention it. There's a portion of Scripture where Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Get away from me, workers of iniquity." Okay? So even though, you know, they said, "Hey, didn't we do many mighty works in your name? And didn't we cast out devils?" He said, "Leave me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." So it matters how you live. We have been given the Holy Spirit to empower us to overcome sin, to live in holiness, to live as examples of God in the earth. We are his ambassadors, and we have been made just like Jesus. And to represent something other than Jesus is to misrepresent Jesus, all right? So yesterday on our outreach, we had a man who was ex-military, and he had no feeling in three fingers, and he had chronic pain in his body. He was not born again, although he had grew up in church, and he had no idea that he needed to be born again. So we explained this to him. Actually, I spent about an hour with him, just teaching him, fellowshipping with him. He got born again, and this is what I told him. I explained the kingdom. I explained all the stuff I just said and a few other things. And I said, "Now listen, here's the deal. You're going to receive eternal life and divine health." And when he got born again and we prayed for him to receive the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was healed. And he started, and we talked some more, and we're just teaching. And then he's like, "You know what? I have feeling in my fingers again," which he had not had for quite some time. And he said, "All the pain has left my body. I never prayed for that man to be healed." What did he receive? He received the full benefit of the atonement of Jesus Christ in his spirit and in his body by being instantly healed. We want to jump into having kind of come off of that understanding, come off of that revelation. We want to begin to talk about becoming equipped like the master, or fully trained. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 6, verse 40. This is English Standard Version. The disciple, Jesus speaking, the disciple is not above his master, right? What's that mean? That's meaning Jesus is the master, we disciples. You know, Jesus said the godly, or no, this is one of the other writers. He said the godly in Christ will suffer persecution, okay? So the disciple is not above the master. The master received persecution, which means you will receive persecution. But also, you're going to receive all the other benefits of the master as well. So the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is fully trained shall be as his master. And we know this from other verses that we have gone through, that we have been predestined to be conformed into his likeness. Everybody puts this stuff off in the future. But here is Jesus saying, listen, whenever you hear someone teaching the truths of the Word of God concerning the words of Jesus, the atonement, and they put it all off into a place where after you die, they are not teaching correct Bible doctrine. What Jesus did is not for when you die or after you die. It is for people who are alive on this earth right now. He says, but everyone that is fully trained shall be as his master. First of all, let's just address this. What is Jesus saying? He's just saying every disciple that is fully trained shall be as his master, or every disciple of Jesus, once they are fully trained, the goal is, and the possibility is, the end result is, they will be as Jesus, fully equipped. Jesus was the example of a full-grown son. He is the only example in the New Testament of a full-grown or mature son. And that verse that I had Haley read from Ephesians 4, it uses this word, mature, and this word is teleos in the Greek. It means a full-grown, mature man. So Jesus Christ is a full-grown, mature son. Listen, the way he operated, the way he spoke, everyone he touched was healed. His words never fell to the ground. He never failed in any way. He never sinned, and never was there sin found in him. He was the perfect son. And perfect meaning mature. He was a full-grown son. He was the example and is our example of everything that we are called into. Paul the Apostle calls this the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, okay? So Jesus is saying that every disciple who gets trained, the goal is that they become me. They become as me. They become as his master. And maybe it doesn't go without saying here that in order to be a disciple who grows into the master, Jesus has to be your master. Our lives have been bought with a price. The Bible says you no longer belong to yourself. Now, in order to become like Jesus, in order to know God, we can say it this way, in order to know God, you have to become like God. Elsewhere it says in the New Testament that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay, so maybe the first step to getting you out of the ditch of churchianity or wherever you stuck is to begin to exercise some self-control and put yourself to death concerning the things of this world, concerning the things of sin, so that you begin to come into a unity with God by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he who joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And that union, that communion, that oneness with God is the very starting place of a disciple. You cannot live your own life, and this is modern Christianity version of the Bible, living your own life where God's blessing rests on you, and then everybody sees, your wealth and your prosperity and, all these things and says, oh, God must be real. No, they give a flip about how many cars you have and how many houses you have, because they can go get a job and get just as many and more things like that. I mean, you got pimps in New York City, you'll never make as much money as they do, but according to that standard, they are way more blessed and they are not godly, okay? So this is not the measure. What is the measure of these things? The measure is your ability to obey the commands of Jesus and do the Word of God, all right? If we're going to be His representative, we must be able to do what He did. That's not a problem. Jesus said, the same works I do, you will do in greater. So it is the expectation that the disciple be trained to become like his master. These are the words of Jesus. Let's break this down a little bit. This word fully trained, some versions use the word perfect. Everyone that is fully trained or everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. This is in the Greek. This is Strong's number G2675. Get you a free Bible, Strong's Bible app on your phone if you got a smartphone, or you can just go somewhere and to a bookstore, or maybe even a used bookstore, and find a Strong's Concordance for used, pretty cheap. It's very useful to understand the Greek meaning of some of these words because, you know, believe it or not, they're not always translated well, okay? So this Greek word for fully trained is katartizo, all right? It means to complete thoroughly, to complete you thoroughly, okay? When a disciple is fully trained or thoroughly completed, or adjusted, it could mean, they shall be as his master. Now, the root word here, this is the part that we got to kind of remember. The root word for this is kata, K-A-T-A. And this word for equipping or equipped or fully trained, we're going to see this in a handful of scriptures here as we go. Now, this is also katartizo, is for which means fully trained or fully adjusted or equipped to be as the master, a mature man, is also the same word in the Greek in Ephesians 4:12, which Haley read a minute ago, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work of this ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And as we know, it goes on to say, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, this scripture, Luke 6:40 and Ephesians 4:11, 12, 13, 14, one spoken by Jesus, the other spoken by Paul, extremely similar, both in their meaning and their context. And this word for the perfecting of the saints, or for the equipping of the saints, some translations say, is the same word that Jesus used when he said, everyone that is fully trained shall be as his master. It's a different tense, but it is the same word, katartismos. Okay, so one is katartizo, and then the other one is just like adding an ing, katartismos. Okay, so it's the same word. You know, isn't it interesting how the Bible just comes right together when you understand the goal and the plan of this thing, which means complete furnishing or perfecting. And guess what? The root word again is kata, K-A-T-A in the Greek. All right. Now, let's jump into another portion of scripture here, Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace we are saved, or you are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And everybody puts this word saved into some kind of an event that you have at the altar, right? You know, when did you get saved? Okay. But this is not how the Bible treats this word. This word saved is the word in the Greek sozo, which means literally to make whole. All right. And that's how the military vet yesterday got healed when he was born again. He was made whole. His spirit was, his sins were canceled and his spirit was recreated. And also his body was healed. Okay. He was made whole. So that word in the Greek again is sozo. For by grace you are sozo through faith, or you are made whole through faith. Now, let's go to jump to Philippians 2:12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, these verses seem to be at odds with each other because Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, okay? Not of yourselves, not of works. It's not something you can do. But then in Philippians 2:12, it says, hey, work out your salvation, okay? What is going on here? It's very easy to understand. Wherefore, I'm going to read it one more time then explain it. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, and we're going to look at that word in the Greek, your own salvation, and we're going to look at that in the Greek, with fear and trembling. Okay, so there is a caution here, with fear and trembling. There's a seriousness, there is a severity, there is a soberness that we should approach this with, and it's all having to do with coming into the likeness of Jesus Christ, because every disciple that is trained will become like his master. All right, so let's look at this word salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is the word so in the Greek. This is Greek word G4941, and it's pronounced soteria, okay, or something like that. This word is a derivative of the Greek word soter, which literally means the Savior. Okay? So work out your own salvation, or what else could it say? Work out your own coming into the likeness of the Savior with fear and trembling. This is really what this verse means. Okay? So salvation is coming into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Salvation, or sozo, which means to make you whole, means you're going to come into the wholeness of the whole one. This is what salvation is. So although, you know, you experience something, you experience being born again, that is the very first step. Having your sins canceled. I know people preach like, you know, pray this prayer so you can go to heaven. That's not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is the cancellation of sin so you could be made just like him. All right? So we are going to work out our salvation, or we are going to come into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Salvation, again, it is the root word in the Greek, soter, and it means Savior. It's used 24 times in the New Testament for the word Savior. Okay? Now, let's talk about this word work out. If we're going to work out our maturity into the likeness of the Savior himself, we're going to be equipped to become just like the Master, as we read in Luke 6:40. Then let's talk about this word work out, okay? This seems like a very important part, like we have a part to play in this. Yes, in fact, we do. So this word for work out, it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is the Greek word. The Greek number is G2716, and it means to work fully, to accomplish, or to finish. Okay, so if we're going to kind of break this down into the original language, to work this out, to work out coming into the completeness or the wholeness of the Savior in our own life, this is to accomplish it. You know, accomplish this work of maturity into his likeness. And guess what the root word of G2716 for workout is? Katergazomai, okay? It's a long word, but the root word is kata, okay? Just like the root word for the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is fully trained, everyone that is root word kata, shall be as his master, okay? For the perfecting of the saints until they reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That root word for perfecting is kata. For the root word, kata, of the saints. And then we have over here in Philippians 2:12, Paul saying work out, or kata, the root word kata, which has to do with coming into or being perfected or maturing into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so we can see just from a little bit of study here that the intent from Jesus's mouth is that every disciple be trained. How is a disciple going to be trained? They are going to be trained through the gifts that Jesus gave when he ascended. What are these gifts? These are people given as gifts, and they have functions as apostle, as a prophet, as evangelist, as pastor, as teacher, okay? These five gifts, or these five leadership gifts to the body of Christ, have one function and one goal, one purpose alone. Obviously, that they themselves are going to come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that they're going to be disciples who are fully trained to become like the Master. but also they are going to be uniquely equipped to equip others to become fully trained, just like the master. Now, if you have been around church at all, or you've been around people who've been around church, you're going to start to hear lies that separate you from this truth, from this reality. And they're going to tell you that Jesus is special. Is he special? Yes, but he is your example. Did you know that Jesus didn't come to the earth as God? And you can look this up. It's in Philippians chapter 2. It says that he stripped himself of everything that made him God so that he could present himself as a servant, as a man. Now, there was no sin in him. He was a sinless man and he never sinned. But he was a man nonetheless, the first man of a whole new line of people, or even a new race, or according to the Greek, a new species of humanity, not made from the dust of the earth, but recreated after the likeness and image of God, and for the purpose of receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have been born again and even speak in tongues, been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and not be walking anywhere in the reality of what I have just taught. Well, part of it is because you haven't found an equipper. Part of it is you may have not found an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist who's doing their job. Maybe you are, you are in a church, or you're in another situation where you are near someone who calls themselves a pastor. But if they are not doing, if they're not doing the work to equip you to come into this level of maturity, to come into this level of ability, then they are a false whatever. They are a false apostle, false prophet, false pastor, false teacher, because they're using that position for some other goal. Now, they may be ignorant. That's fine. There's plenty of grace and space to repent and come into this revelation of the Word of God and understanding, okay? But maybe they're just building their own kingdom. Either way, in order for you to start to come into this understanding within yourself that you have been made just like Him, yet you are called to become as He is in His maturity, in His fullness, in His power, which means authority and ability, so that you begin to walk just like Him. It is the will of God for you to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, able to do the same works, and as Jesus Himself promised, even greater. See, this is the missing piece in Christianity. This is the missing piece in the modern church, because the modern church refuses to teach this because the road is narrow, and this is a hard road, because you have to die to yourself daily. So if you're not experiencing this, maybe you haven't found an equipper who understands what the Word of God is about. But also, maybe you have decided, maybe not consciously, but maybe you have made the decision that you don't want to die to yourself, that you want to continue to live for yourself, that you want to continue to please yourself, living according to the desires of your body, living according to the desires of your mind. But anyone who is going to follow Jesus Christ, in Jesus' own words, He said, if you want to follow Me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and begin to follow Me. If you want to follow My ways, if you want to walk in My footsteps, if you want to become a disciple who is fully trained to become like the Master, the first step is die to yourself. Deny yourself daily. No longer live for the pleasure of your own body and your own mind. Begin to live for the pleasure of the Father. Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself. I only do what I do to please the Father. Okay, that's going to get you killed. That's going to get you persecution. But you're also going to be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You're also going to be able to remove every single excuse from everyone who calls the church non-essential, from everyone who calls the church just another religion, from everyone who calls the church hypocrites. Okay, don't be a hypocrite. Become fully trained, become like the Master, and begin to evict the criminal from your city, begin to heal the sick, preach the gospel, raise the dead, cast out devils, begin to become an example or a representation, a true representation of Jesus Christ, because everyone that is fully trained shall be as his master. So in the name of Jesus, I just speak over you and I pray right now and I just say, in the name of Jesus, may you awaken to righteousness. May you put away and put to death everything in you that is earthly. And may you pick up this new man and put on this new man, that you could become transformed, that you could become to be someone who is empowered and become someone who is fully trained, even into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. To your body, I say, be healed. Every spirit of infirmity, I break your power now. Leave them now in Jesus' name. So be healed. Every lie, be broken now. May you come into freedom. I set you free by the name and the power of the Spirit of God and by the name of Jesus. Come into maturity. And for sure, if you don't have anyone else to look to begin to equip you, I invite you to connect with us in some way. We stream 1:30 live on Sundays, Central Standard Time. We on our app, we have a private stream, which is the teaching for our house church, our main house church here in Joplin, Missouri. Get on that. On our app also is all 24 trainings of our discipleship training cycle. Get on that. On the app also is a tab that says Start Here. Get on that. If you begin to separate yourself to be transformed or configured into his image, and you begin to renew your mind and begin to come into the understanding of who God has made you, God's plan for man, and his end goal for the body of Christ, the church, and the earth, then you will begin to actually step into it. You'll find yourself transformed, changed, and it's not going to take years. It's going to take days, weeks, maybe some months. But if you come into this, you can do it. You can walk in this. There is no one special in the body of Christ. We all have been made new creations in him, and we all have been given the Holy Spirit, whose job is to, number one, lead us into all truth, full understanding. Number two, to empower you to crucify the deeds of the flesh, to empower you to rise above sin, and to empower you to begin to walk, talk, and act as Jesus Christ walked, talked, and acted in the earth. All right, so don't forget our app. Anywhere that you get your apps, you can find that app. Also, I invite you to become a co-laborer with us. This is a word that's used 13 times in the New Testament. In the Greek, it's called synergos, and it is the word that Paul uses to describe Timothy, his son in the faith, also the same word that he uses to describe the entire church at Corinth. Become a co-laborer with us. Join us on these Wednesday night calls at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and kind of begin to associate with us, and we will begin to help you down this path towards maturity. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching, and we'll see you again, same time, next Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.